Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Sales Intel Show, Pipeline Pioneers, where our goal, our objective is to help the B2B community learn from the practitioners, from the experts and the leaders in the B2B space as to how to generate the best pipeline for the business, because we believe pipeline is the heart and blood of any organization. And building a pipeline takes a village. You can no longer just give it to BDRs or marketing team to go generate the pipeline. It takes truly a village to come together to build a pipeline. Today, I am excited to learn how to build the ICP, how to target them, how to build your optimal pipeline with Sophia. Sophia, welcome to our show.
It's such an honor to be with you on this show, Manoj.
Thank you. Thank you, Sophia. So to kick things off, why don't you introduce the guest about yourself and your background, and then we'll dive right into the ICP.
Sure. Yeah. Again, thank you so much for having me. You know, like I mentioned, it's such a pleasure to be here, because I met you in Boston a couple months ago and I had such a great conversation with you. Yeah, so I've been in the B2B space for about 15 years. I started actually in B2C. So that's how I fell in love with the customer. I'll share later in our conversation. I have this 9Cs framework where it's focusing on the customers. But when I joined B2B about 15 years ago, I joined Iron Mountain. And basically, you know, at the time, I think the B2B space is still very conservative, right? Like you are doing a one touch. And so like I really enjoy basically influencing my experience in B2C into B2B. And I think B2B space is such a interesting, you know, space, you know, especially when account-based marketing started, right? So I joined Iron Mountain about 15 years ago, and then I moved to Nuance Technology. So I think now it's Microsoft and Nuance Merge for about a couple of years. And then I went to a security company, which is very, very exciting. And then lastly, I was at IBM for about 4 years. And then now I'm with the CMO Council. I'm basically leading the advisory board to help companies to be more customer-centric through the framework that I just mentioned to you, the NICES framework, you know, focusing on the customer.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So in all these jobs, let's pick an example of, one of your previous jobs or the current, what data elements did you use to figure out the ICP, you know, your ideal customer profile?
Yeah, I think, you know, over time, 15 years, like things have evolved, right? Like I think 15 years ago when I joined Iron Mountain, we were focusing more on firmographic, demographics, as well as lead scoring. Mm-hmm. At the time, 2010, we didn't have intent data, right? But then as we move into, you know, intent data, keywords, and then content consumption, you know, we started to look into like what keywords or what content, you know, within the company that are surging for intent. And so those are some of the elements that we use as well. So intent data, and then, you know, firmographic, as well as, I think what is really, really key is identifying your buying group, right, first. So all that data is important, but then companies need to understand and, you know, really hone in on who their buying groups are, because as you know, the marketing landscape is so cluttered. Companies need to really target the right roles within the buying groups as well. So I don't know, Manoj, if you remember a few years ago, Serious Decision of Forrester came up with the 5 roles of the buying groups. You know, like you have the user, you have the champions, decision maker. Yeah, exactly. So really important to identify who they are within your buying group. So for example, when I was at Veracode, right? So it is a secure application security company. So we, identify the buying group. So it's the security manager, right? The director of security, and then CISO, as well as the developer, right? So those are the different roles within the buying groups, as well as, you know, the board of directors. So those are the influencers, for example. And then the CISO would be the champion, and then the security director would be the decision maker, and then the developer, as well as the security team will be the user. So like honing in on that first is important, right? After that, then, you know, you marry with all the data that we talk about.
That's great. And how do you validate that you got the ICP correct?
I think it's two things. One is obviously, you know, when you launch a company, you have a target audience in mind, right? But I think what's tricky now is that everybody's going after the same audience, right? Like, I think we all heard that only 5% of our target market is buying, right? So we are actually targeting the same audience as well as trying to get their attention. So I think so two things would be, one is really understanding where their pain points are is really key, right? So like I mentioned, as marketing landscape continues to evolve, like I think even the pain points of your target audience may change. So like really, really understanding what their pain points are. So that way you could then, you know, marry that pain points with the data that you're looking for. So for example, if let's say AI is now a big thing, right? And, you know, one of the things that previously probably security companies, right? They weren't using as much AI, but then now they're using AI technology to assess all the threats and all that. So would the AI audience be part of it? And so, you know, with intent data, what are some of the keywords that are pertaining to AI, even though your solution is security solution? So like really understanding the pain points of your target audience, number one, and then so that you can target them accordingly. And number two is really looking at your conversion, right? Like, you know,
exactly.
when you full funnel, right? Like how do your leads convert, you know, your target audience convert from when you start engaging with them to, you know, generating solution for them and ultimately driving pipeline.
Yeah, once you dial in the ICP, you see the results in your conversion, you know, across the board in the pipeline and the win rate. That's great. So now that you've defined your ICP, you're validated that, yep, you know, we got it. And sometimes it takes a duration or two in that process.
Right.
You go back to step number one, validate it, right? But once you do that, how do you expand the reach of your ICP to, you know, build a very healthy funnel?
You asked a lot of great questions. So actually, this is my near and dear to my heart, expanding accounts reach, right? So when I was at IBM, I led the sponsorship events. So, you know, IBM had partnership with the US Open, Grammys, Masters. So if you see, I mean, coming up soon, US Open, you'll see all IBM all surrounding, right? The course. But what was missing previously was that they were just using those sponsorship as brand activation. So what we've done the past couple of years was we use platform, you know, like intent data platform, like, you know, your platform, Sales Intel, basically to track what accounts are coming into our website. And that actually expanded our accounts reach by 5x year over year. Because, you know, when we target the brand activation, right, we were marketing on the B2C media channel. So, you know, the sports channel, entertainment channel, golf channel, those are all consumer, right? Because they have golf fans, they are, you know, tennis fans, but they are like, I mean, I'm not sure, Manoj, do you also play golf or tennis?
You know, I'm not good at it.
But if you are, right, you would be, you know, basically going to those publications and said, and you're also a business person, right? That you could be our target audience. So you would then come in, we will promote, you know, our IBM at the time, you know, our IBM platform, and as well as the sponsorship with this engagement. We would then, you know, identify where they're coming from. And so that expanded our accounts reach, whether it's on our enterprise accounts or whether in mid-market, we expanded by 5x.
That is great. That's great. So now let's switch a gear. You're going to play a little game. Now that you've identified your ICP, which channels do you use to reach them, right? So I'm going to share my screen.
Oh,
we will try to have an interactive session here, Sophia. So, you know, you have 100 pennies. Like, we all marketers have limited budgets available. So you have 100 pennies here. And your job is to allocate these 100 pennies across different channels to build the most optimal pipeline that converts into revenue, right? So how would you invest these 100 pennies across these channels?
You're going to move it for me? Is that what?
Yep, I'll move it for you. So you just tell me, how would you distribute these tenants?
Yeah, I think go-to-market strategy is really key, right? So between sales and marketing, there has to be integration between them. So I would put about 40 percent between product and sales for
Okay, so
now.
it's so equally defined, you know, 20 on products
Yeah.
and 20 on sales. Okay.
And then from there, once you identify your go-to-market strategy, right, especially around your product and your ICP, how your products, meet your target audience pain points, then identifying who are the right collaborators with you, right? So the partnership that you have, because in today's market, you can't do everything alone. There's so many things that our customers are looking for, so partnership is really, really key. So I would put another 20 there.
Perfect. So I put Tony on partnership, yeah.
Oh boy, we have so little money. Well, obviously, I feel like the customer is the middle, so I would say the customer is the given. It's not that I'm not going to give any pennies there, but basically everything that we do, like I mentioned, I have a framework called the NICES framework, Manoj, and everything is surrounded towards the customer, right? Like if it doesn't help the customer, like if your product, your messaging, your partnership doesn't serve the customer, I think it's time to evaluate, because like at the end of the day, we are serving the customer. So I would say a customer is 100%. All around this is to serve the customer.
Yep.
I would say brand and marketing. So now, as you know, it's all about full funnel, right? Brand to demand. So I would put another. Oh boy, this is hard.
Yeah.
This another two in marketing and brand.
Okay. So brand marketing in specific, right?
No, marketing and brand together. So I would put.
So, you put marketing, this is paid marketing, and this is brand marketing. So
Yeah, so
how would you
it's
distribute those
basically
pennies?
brand to the demand. I would put 1.5 to brand,
Yeah.
and then I would put 2 and 2.
Okay, perfect. So you know
And
what?
events and community. Community is part of brand,
Yeah.
and then events is part of marketing.
Got it.
I did
Yes, here we go.
it.
So you put 20 on the brand and 20 on the marketing.
Yeah.
For companies that are like IBM, did IBM still have to spend money in brand,
Oh
or
yeah.
really?
Yeah, even the sponsorship that I mentioned is all brand activation. 'Cause like I think especially for companies like IBM, right? Our solutions have evolved as well. So, marketing is not just about creative, but it's all about like messaging as well. Like what is it that you're helping the customer with, right? So like all the brand activation, the messaging, as well as getting to know the customer as well. So that's why I believe that community is part of brand to marketing as well as event. So like now it's actually a full view, Manoj, from brand to demand. And I think tools like your platform, right, can help bridge that gap. That's what I did at all my companies. All the activation that you do from search, from social, from paid, from all the events, like how do you then bring in to demand, right? Which then, identifying their pain points using that intent data, prioritizing them what solutions that they need, from the company that you're working at.
No, makes sense. Makes sense. So, Sophia, let's take a look at this chart here. This is the industry benchmark, right? We talked to 100 plus go-to-market leaders, and then surveyed 300 or so go-to-market leaders, and this is how they had spent their pennies, right? I'm gonna open your data on top of it. So, blue is community.
Wow.
And then, orange is yours. When you look at this chart, what surprises
Yeah.
you?
So I guess my question is sales led, where does that budget go to, right? Is it mostly to entertain the
So
clients?
BDRs, AEs, they're generating the pipeline. This is all about generating the pipelines.
Okay, so this apologize. This includes human resources as well, I guess. Not so much
mostly
for.
sales and marketing. Sorry, mostly
Okay.
BDRs and AE resources. That's where
Okay.
they're investing money.
Yeah. I think it depends. You know, I would completely agree with the blue box if it's a traditional sales motion, right? Because like nowadays, especially in SaaS, you know, you have PLG motions. Not to say that the frontliners, you know, the sales and BDRs are not a key player on that, but I think the, you know, the pie has shifted, right? So that, and also in today's world, right, customers are more likely to learn more about your solutions earlier, you know, like up to 70% of your buying journey. And so I guess the question is, how can you optimize that sales cycle so that when they get to the sellers, it's, you know, the sales team can pretty much close the deal.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the perfect scenario, obviously.
That's right. That's right. Sophia, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. Also, I hear from my team that we are co-sponsoring an event at Inbound early September, right?
Yes. I can't wait for that. You know, looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great evening with all the CMOs and marketing leaders there.
Well, we are excited. We are excited to join you and partner with you at the Inbound dinner.
Thanks so much, Manoj. This is so great.
Yeah, thanks, Sophia.